Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey. Oh, child. So it's about to snow and I'm supposed to fly out tomorrow to LA and I'm praying that my flight is not canceled. How are you?
I thought I escaped that crap. I'm down south. I came to Charlotte for work and they're all losing their minds because they're going to get like a quarter inch of snow.
Oh, that's so cute. Oh, sidebar. Welcome to Brown Ambition, listeners.
Hey, y'all.
Sometimes I wonder. I mean, I know you click the Brown Ambition button, but I always think I feel like we should be like, hi, my name's Tiffany, and this is Mandy.
Or not. We can do that. Hi, my name's Mandy.
Don't make me choke myself to death.
I changed my last name on Facebook.
You did?
And not a damn person noticed.
Can I admit something terrible? What's Yo, that? We still have to go pick up our license. I was like, one of us has to go get it.
Wait, pick it up? Yeah. You need that.
I know. We're like the worst. And meanwhile, it's not like we got married in Zimbabwe. We got married in the city where we live. Yeah. And City Hall is just a hop, skip, and a jump away. And I always forget. Yeah.
I mean, you know, those little like technicalities, those little formalities.
What does
it matter when you're yelling at someone about their socks being on the floor? That's real marriage.
I know.
Don't tell me we're not married.
Exactly. I've been such a bad wife lately, but I've definitely turned it around. Meanwhile, it's only been 2 days of turnaround, but he was like, so like, are you never going to help out around the house anymore? Cause it's just been so crazy. And so I finally was like, I gave myself three specific chores. So we agreed upon it. As long as I do these three chores, he's going to lay off my back. And my chores are dinner, because I actually enjoy cooking dinner. It's just that if I don't pre-plan, I'm the one at 5 o'clock, like, I should have took out the chicken. Like, what are we going to eat? Dinner, grocery shopping, which when I say I hate grocery shopping, I just went and I thought I was going to cry. I was like, this is the worst experience of my life. But I am going to learn how to use Instacart because I'm not going back out there. And then the third chore is laundry, which I have found a great laundry service. Even though we have a washer dryer, I don't have time. So I drop it off and I pick it up and I take the money from our household. So like we have a household bills account. And that's where same place I take the grocery shopping money. So as long as I do those three things, I don't have to worry about dishes. He's like a mopper. I've never really been I'll sweep and like, you know, I'll spot mop, but I've never been like a mopper. And I'm like, all right, whatever, you can do that. And then like he does like most of the cleaning and stuff. So we've reached a happy space because it was not fair. I really wasn't pulling my weight at the house.
Honestly, It's living together is, I mean, it's like any other roommate. Like you really can't take too much advantage of your partner. I mean, I'm much more relaxed about it. It's easier because you can like talk about, you're not shy about, there's no politeness. It's like, really, your socks are here again. Why are they laid out so neatly as if you're just going to pick up those dirty socks your sweaty feet have been in all day and put them back on?
No, I am
2 feet from the hamper.
I literally am the worst. Like I sometimes take a step back and I'm like, would you stand for this, Tiffany? If the shoe was, I would not. And I'm always like, I just look at him like, I apologize, sir. I will do better. Cause he's like, you know, between you and Supergirl, it's like, you know, I'm the adult. I got two big old babies in the house.
Hey, girls are messy.
We are. Me and Supergirl, sometimes we just look at each other and I'm like, yeah, we're terrible. And I'm like, meanwhile, she's 11. So she's allowed.
that's the age. This is like free labor. This is what you're supposed to do with your like pre-adolescence. Just like teach them the beauty of hard labor. You know what? It's a lie though. You don't really grow out of like this. I'm the same person I am when it comes to cleaning that I was when I was like 12. Like I still don't make the bed.
Yep.
I'm still terrible about folding my laundry. I mean, that's the big fight now. Now we have a beautiful washer dryer, which is like a big deal for those of you who live in other places besides New York to have your own washer dryer. I just treat it like my closet, like an extension of my closet, the dryer, you know? Like, oh, let's just, I'll go find some socks or in the dryer. Why bother folding them? I'm just going to use them this week. I know what's in there. It's my workout clothes. So I'll just get a pair of workout clothes a day. Oh, gosh. Doesn't work. But it's also like, I mean, people think that money is what you argue about. It's like those simple things. It's like division of labor. And labor is, time is money.
It is division of labor. And I'm the worst. Because I'm like, do you know, like, I could totally write a proposal in the hour that you're asking me to, like, he's just looking at me like, he finally had to say, you know, I don't work for you, right? I'm not part of the unicorn squad or whatever you call your team. I don't, no, that's not how this works. And I'm like, okay.
You're the boss at work, but we're co-managers at home.
Exactly. So, I mean, but I'm learning and I feel much better because today dinner was done. We had vegan tacos, which, you know, that's what was holding up dinner too, because I wasn't really, the whole vegan thing kind of threw off my, like, well, how do I make dinner now, you know?
Takes more thought and stuff.
Yeah. And so we had vegan tacos, which were delicious. And so now I'm feeling back in the groove. I went food shopping, which I'm not. See, this is the thing. I don't mind running into like Whole Foods to grab a few things, but full blown like Big Mama food shopping, I hate that. So I'm going to figure out a plan for that. You do?
I do. It's not for me. I feel like maybe I spend more money when I definitely spend more money when I give myself more time. Like they've shown, you know, the idea that, you know, they say bring a list and do all your shopping and meal prep for the week. But I think people have found that you actually spend money and you're more likely to like waste food if you do those big shopping runs.
Yes.
It's better to shop as you need it. But like reality is a lot of people don't have time to go every day when they need something, or they don't live like in New York where you have a Key Food on your way to the train, or like you can just pop into the corner store and grab something. But I know I love going, like when I shop, I don't even bring husband. I'm like, you're going to stay at home. I need my 2 hours. And I like to go up and down every single aisle and read every package and every price tag, read the unit price, compare things, just see what's new. I like to see if there's a new type of produce. This week I tried a pomelo. I never tried that before.
I did see that produce out, but I was like,
delicious.
Meanwhile, it's the opposite. All I kept thinking to myself is how inefficient. You go into the store, put things in the cart just to take them out of the cart, to put them on the conveyor belt, to put them back in the cart, to take them out of the cart and put them in the car, to take them out of the car and put them in the kitchen, and to take them out of the kitchen and put them in the cabinet. There's so much in, out. In. I said, oh, no. Like, honestly, I didn't even realize my face, like my dad would say, why do you look so morose and melancholy? I didn't realize my face looked miserable when I came back home. And I always call Superman like, okay, I'm like 2 minutes away. That means come out and help me. So he was helping me in with the groceries. He's like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, what? He's like, yo, your face looks like, yo, somebody killed the dog and we don't have a dog. And I'm like, it's because grocery shopping. I hate grocery shopping. So I'm going to try Instacart. But
is
also
that like
too,
Fresh Direct?
I don't know. No, I think Instacart is like when someone goes grocery shopping for you. It's like Uber for grocery shopping, from what I understand. But then also there are different grocery stores that have like you can order online and they'll like bring it to you. The cost does not matter. When I say the cost doesn't matter, I shall pay. What's the surcharge? It's yours. Happily so. I will dance for that extra $50 or $100. I don't care what it is, I'm paying it.
No, I bet someone like me, I bet I would save money that way. If you take me out of the equation, me grabbing, oh, I'm going to try this week, or, you know, buying, I bought 3 mustards. Like, what? I looked at my cabinet. I have 3 mustards and 1 in the fridge. What is happening? I'm turning into like an old lady. But no, I bet I would save a lot of money using one of those.
So well, I'm gonna see. I'm gonna let you know.
You need to let off steam, or you just need some space.
No, that's nap time.
I need a bigger house. Like the only I have to when I escape, I go to the grocery store. It's bad. Mm. Yeah.
So I went to the doctor today. My surgery's next week. I'm nervous.
Ooh, okay.
So you do like I guess they call it pre-op. So that's like, you know, the week before they take your blood pressure. And basically it's, you sit down with the doctor and they just talk about this is how the surgery's going to go. And so, yeah. So basically, it's like I said, it's so for those of you who don't know, I'm getting fibroid surgery to get rid of especially one particularly large fibroid because I want to be able to have kids. And with this fibroid, I'm not going to be able to, at least not successfully. So fibroids are like this fleshy, like tumor-like, like I guess ball kind of that can grow in women's inside or on the outside perimeter of their uterus. And depending on how big or how small, it can prevent women from having kids. A lot of women will get fibroids after having kids, so they'll just kind of leave them. But they can lead to heavy periods and like pain. And mine weren't really causing any of those. It was just, why are we not getting pregnant? And then it was like, oh, you've got this giant fibroid the size of a 4-month-old baby inside you. I was like, oh, well, that would explain it.
So there's no room in the end.
Yes. And so like, so typically a woman's uterus is like the size of a pear. So not very big. My fibroid is the size of a grapefruit. So, so because your uterus grows as the baby grows. So it, you know, my uterus has grown to accommodate this grapefruit size fleshy thing, which I'm like, yo, that's so freaky.
Stop saying flesh.
I know, I'm sorry. But it's so freaky and crazy. And I'm like, yikes. And so she's like, yeah, we're just going to go in. Because there's two types of surgeries. You can have the one where it's like a laser, they kind of go in. And then there's one where they actually like almost like you're having a C-section. Like, you know, you open yourself up and take out a baby, but this time a fibroid. And I asked her, well, because a lot of people were like, why not the laser? And I asked her, why not the laser? She said, because mine is so large. She said, there's a certain finesse about basically, because my fibroid is not on the outside of the uterus, which I could still have the baby if it was. It's on the inside. So that means that she wants to really finesse taking it out and putting my uterus back together. And with the laser, it's not as, she doesn't have as much control. So she was like, you know, if you were older and you're like, girl, I have two kids, she's like, it would be different. But, we, you know, the purpose of the surgery is to make sure that we're putting you back together so you can have kids. And so, woo-woo, she's like, you know, she's pretty confident that I should be able to get pregnant pretty quickly. I told her I wanted to try in vitro.
Yeah.
After, and she was like, well, why don't you guys try natural for a while? And I said, honestly, I'm 38, ma'am. So I think that, because the thing about in vitro, it's not like we can't do both. It's not like we can't try naturally. But I kind of don't want to, like, wait 6 months to a year. You know, if I was 30, I probably would honestly, we would probably try 6 months to a year naturally. But since I'm 38 and I'm kind of like, yeah, I just want to get this party started. I mean, that's a whole
start doing the research part of it.
And yes.
Like meeting exactly. with doctors and stuff.
Yeah. So I'll be laid up for about 4 weeks. Well, that's not true. You're not really supposed to leave the house for about 4 weeks, but you're supposed to walk around and stuff like that. So it's not like you're like in the bed for like 4 weeks. You're just not supposed to like travel and stuff like that. So I was like, so basically my regular life, but except for more of an excuse not to leave the house. Because yeah. I like never leave the house. But I just kind of want to give everybody an update. And I know some of you guys have, so many people have hit me up and they're like, I have fibroids. It's crazy, Mandy, how many women are dealing with in their 30s, especially because I guess that's when fibroids typically tend to kind of like pop up if you're going to have them, either in your 30s or after you have your kids.
And when so you don't really detect them? Is that, you know, when you have your normal checkup, you know, the doctor will push around and feel your uterus and stuff, but is that how you discovered them? Or was it really just like, had you not been finding them during normal checkups? Like, I'm just wondering if you wanted to stay on top of it, how you would.
Yeah, you know, I did it. I mean, I'm trying to think, like, it had been a while since I'd been to, like, you know, my gynecologist, but I'd been, it wasn't like years. It happened only because I was like, hey, you know, I don't smoke, I don't drink, and, you know, I exercise on occasion. Why are we not getting pregnant? So it was that was like, you know, it was them looking to see, like, why are you not getting pregnant? Is there something wrong? And so that's when, like, the doctor was like, oh, you have fibroids. And I was like, wait, what? She's like, you didn't know you had fibroids? I'm like, no. You know, I'm like, she's like, when's the last time you've been to the doctor? It had been maybe a year, I guess, but my normal annual checkup. So I'm like, well, it hasn't been that long. And she said, well, you're at the age where it's childbearing. There's a hormone, I guess. They're not really sure where fibroids come from, but she's like, it could have grown in that time. And that's why, you know, you didn't know, because I wasn't necessarily looking for it. But yeah, I would just say that if you one of the symptoms is heavy cramping and heavy periods, but I wasn't even getting that. So I didn't know to ask or to look, you know, but I did notice that, like I said, I had this little pudge, like even when I was working out, I'm like, why is this little, it wasn't a big belly, but this little belly that I can't seem to get rid of, it was basically the fibroids poking out, you know?
And is it hereditary? Like if you have a history in your family?
I don't know if it's, they honestly don't know why. I mean, in my family, there is definitely a history. But the truth of the matter is, it's so common. I would say out of 10 women that I've told, like my friends that have fibroids, 4 of them were like, oh yeah, me too. Hmm. Yeah. So it wasn't, I mean, of course that's not some scientific study, but it's so much more normal than I ever knew. That, you know, that so many women, especially my friends in their 30s, and I suspect, like I said, that from what I'm just doing a little bit of research, finding out that that's typically when they rear their heads, like in your 30s. And the reason why I never really heard of it is because I wasn't asking my friends in their 20s. Plus, we weren't trying to get pregnant for the most part in our 20s.
Yeah, that's true. But it's like it's you're not alone, though. You're not alone among women who have like waited until their mid to late 30s. Mm-hmm. And maybe dealing with the same thing. So thanks for sharing it. And I hope everything goes smoothly.
I know. It's scary though, because I've never had major surgery. So when they talk to you, they're like, so we're going to have like your blood on deck. And I'm like, wait, just in case you need a transfusion. I'm like,
stacks on stacks.
I know. And just like little things that like, you know, not little things, but like, you know, it just, I've never had major surgery. So of course you're nervous. But then part of me is like, well, a C-section, which is basically what this is not uncommon. So it's not like she's performing like my husband had, you know, the aneurysm brain surgery. I mean, that was like, whoa. Mm. But this is like, okay, Tiffany, women have babies all the time. C-sections are done literally hundreds, if not thousands, if not, I'm sure, tens of thousands of times a day. So, I mean, it's not, you know, this like, oh my gosh, I've never done this before. And this doctor has been doing this surgery for 20 years. She's come highly recommended. And this was like my second. I encourage everyone to get a second opinion because some doctors are a little bit surgery happy. So this is my third opinion, but I liked her, how she explained everything to me. And she just, her bedside manner and her explanation of why she's choosing this method was really, you know, it's what made me choose her.
Yeah, absolutely. Cosign. Don't be afraid to doctor shop if you have time and it's like non-urgent.
Yeah.
I went through the same thing with getting on my tooth surgery. Tooth operation. Mm-hmm. I hesitate to call it surgery procedure. But yeah, that stuff is stressful and it's your body. So definitely. I think I went to 3 dentists till I found one that I actually liked. So what, your surgery is next week. Are we going to have a show next week or will we hear from you after the surgery? What's the schedule?
Yeah. So yeah, we'll have a show next week because it's before. My surgery is not until Thursday. And so... Okay. And then after that, I guess we'll play it by ear. I mean, honestly, from what she said, she's like, girl, you'll be walking around. Like, it's not literally the life that she described that I can have, like, for the next 3 weeks. I'm like, oh, so my normal life. She was like, I was like, oh, yeah. So basically sitting, standing, like, I don't go to the office. I'm not going to lie because I hate putting on pants. So I'd rather just be home, like, you know, in my nightie doing work. So it's just an excuse to live my normal life. So I don't anticipate it. Yeah. I know, in my 90, like, I know Superman is like, I didn't sign up for this. No, he's awesome.
It depends what kind of 90 it is.
I know. I did say, like, I did go to Target. Target actually has some really cute nightgowns that are, like, that, you know, they don't, because you don't want to wear, I'm not trying to wear a negligee just, like, on a Tuesday at 3, although I'm sure he would love that. But, you know, you want a nightgown that's cute, but also, like, comfortable. And so
it's
I've got
the double X college t-shirt and the skimpy Victoria's Secret aisle, like the middle ground. Yeah.
Yes. It almost looks like a maxi dress, like a summer dress, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's cute. So yeah. So I'm not, honestly, it seems like it'll be my regular life minus travel.
Okay. It's happening. Yeah.
I know.
It's going to go great. I know at least 2 women who've had the surgery and things have been fine.
Did they have babies after? Was it for the babies or was it for just because?
I don't know about the first one, but the most recent one, she only had the procedure over the summer. And I actually don't know her well enough to be checking in like that. So when you know people are trying, you also don't want to ask.
Yeah.
Like, it's like when someone, you know, you always, I don't know. It just, you just wait for them to tell you because it's kind of sensitive. You never know.
Yeah. But,
all right.
All right.
So I wanted to mention real quick, some people are maybe noticing that the stock market's having a little bit of a temper tantrum right now. It went down. The stock market went down today. And I just thought it was a good opportunity to talk because, like, I just checked my 401k from the last year. And if you do that, you might see, if you've been investing in this past year, you might see incredible returns. Like, in the past year, my 401k, which I don't do anything fancy with, was up 22%. Which is in freaking sane. Like, the markets were just raging this year. But, like, what goes up must come down. And I think this is a time when you just remind people that, yes, we've had this crazy, amazing bull market and your stocks are doing great, but there's going to be probably a correction. Like, stocks are probably going to go down. But the point of the key here is to remember, so long as you're well diversified in your investments, it's better to just don't do anything. Like, don't freak out. Don't try to fiddle with things. Don't try to sell everything. If you're investing for, like, I'm a retirement investor, like, I'm investing for the long term. And again, it's like experts say, just don't do anything. Like, research has shown, and they've actually done this. They've gone back and looked at studies of investors, like 401k investors who sold during the recession. And they have done worse than people who just stayed and rode the wave. That's just what the market does. It goes up, it goes down, it goes up, it goes down. That's just, it's always going to happen that way. So don't be too freaked out by the headlines. This is honestly just what everyone's been expecting for a while. And who knows, it could be back up tomorrow, but I just thought I would give that little public service announcement.
No, it is hard, especially if you're checking, like you said, every single day. That's what they really kind of tell you not to, especially if you're trading, right? So maybe let's talk about the difference. I know. So trading is kind of like when you literally trade, you go in, you go out, you go in, you go out. But if you're investing, like Mandy said, for long term, then, you know, the ups and the downs are part of the overall growth. You know, and so you just kind of like, okay, I know that in the end, I mean, unless you're like retiring tomorrow, I should be in a better position.
Well, if you are retiring tomorrow, like that's the thing. That's the reason that they say, you know, once a year, once every couple years, if you're younger, check in and maybe recalibrate your portfolio, like get a little bit out of stocks and more into like safe investments like bonds and CDs and things like that. But as you're older, you should be shifting in that direction, like less exposed to risk, like less stocks and shifting more to safe investments like bonds and CDs and things like that. When I have a target date fund, you guys might have heard of target date funds. This is a type of investment account that is like, it's sort of like a pre-made retirement fund for you. They've done the asset allocation, and as you age, they shift things over. The internet, the web, the robots shift things over for you. So you don't even have to, you literally can set it and forget it. So you pick a target date fund that's like tied to your retirement year. I think mine's a 2055. And I don't have to do anything. As I get older, it's going to become less risky. And so if there were a super, like if the market did go down when I was older and close to retirement, the aim there is that, okay, I wouldn't be as exposed as I am now at 30. And then I wouldn't feel that pain of that downturn so much. So people who really felt pain were people who were too heavily exposed, too close to retirement, and probably were taking on more risk than they should have.
Yeah. And so you have to know that, like, it's important that when you're thinking about investments that there's more than one way. So people don't think about retirement. I'm glad you made that distinction that as retirement, as an investment, it is. So me, I have two. So like I invest for retirement, which is the express desire to have a certain amount of money by a certain age. But then I also invest specifically for wealth. So that's, I don't put as much money toward that, but it's money that, you know, I'm a little bit more risky with, and the express desire for that money is to grow myself wealth. And so I kind of put my investments into two different kind of like pots like that, where I'm like, okay, I set aside a specific amount every single month for retirement. So by the time I'm 50, that's kind of like my age. By the time I'm 50, I'll have a certain amount of money. And then for wealth, I'm like, okay, I set aside less money, but I'm more risky, where I'm like, if I lose the money, it won't be detrimental because I have my retirement nest egg.
Exactly. It's like you have to ask yourself, like, okay, what am I saving for? And then how much time do I have? Mm-hmm. If you're like, for me, saving for our, we've always had our down payment for our house. Honestly, now we've had it for like 2 years. Probably should have put it in a CD. But at the time, we thought we would need it within a year, so we keep that in savings. But yeah, if we were going to play with some money to maybe, I don't know, go on a vacation, a big, our fifth anniversary trip or something like that, I wouldn't mind putting that into a little investment fund, like a little brokerage account, and letting it grow for a while. Yeah. Just ask yourself those questions before and ask yourself, is it the wisest decision to, I don't know, put my, you know, I've got 2 years before my kid graduates college. I really want to gamble their college savings in the market. Mm. But when they're 2 months old, yeah, maybe you want to open up an investment account and be a little riskier because you got 18 years to invest for their college.
Yeah.
That's the kind of conversation you should be having with your spouse, with a professional, financial advisor, just someone who can help you line up your goals and then work on them.
Actually, somebody sent me like, just like on IG, a story. We can save it for questions, but it ties in perfectly with this about, setting aside money in your 401k versus paying off debt. So we can maybe.
Ooh, I love that question.
It's a good one.
It's a good one.
Hey, BA fam. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. That's incredible. This is according to Indeed data and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 150 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Okay, it's smart. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Brown Ambition. Just go to Indeed.com/Brown Ambition right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Brown Ambition. Terms and conditions apply. You need to hire. You need Indeed.
Okay, so are you ready to break or boost? Break or boost? I already told you what my break is going to be. If you want to go first, I will certainly welcome it, or I can go first. It's not a deep one.
Oh, I'll go first. I'll go first. Okay. I'm going to do a pre-boost for my real boost, unrelated. But I literally spent like, I don't know, half the weekend watching Living Single on Hulu. I posted on our Facebook. I really was not kidding. My weekend was made. I had no idea it was coming back. That show, I probably watched it when I was too young to be watching it. But
it's coming back?
No, it's back. It's on Hulu. Well, okay, two things. Oh. One, it's on Hulu. Two, yes, they're talking about reviving it with the original cast, which I am like losing my mind over. Losing it. Because yes.
Queen Latifah. Maxine Waters? Maxine, attorney at law?
Yes. Yes. Sinclair, Overton.
Oh my gosh.
Regine, Kyle. I don't even know who the rest of the cast is. But it's fun to go back and watch old episodes because you see people like Terrence Howard was in it. It's so funny. But this show is everything. And it's just, anyway, I've had the theme song in my head all weekend. Nope. Like, oh, yes.
This was quintessential 90s.
And not only that, but like, we give it respect because this show was like the launching pad for other shows like Friends. I mean, this show, everyone wanted to repeat what they had with this show. And I couldn't believe it was just on 5 seasons.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, yeah. I love Queen Latifah. You know, she's from Newark and Newark/ Irvington, like this area. And so I think her mom is retired, but she was a teacher at a high school, I believe, in Newark for a number of years until she retired. So Queen Latifah is like, yes, she is Dana Newark royalty. Hey, Dana Owens. Yeah.
Okay, that was my pre-boost.
Okay,
The 90s are back. They're like bringing back Roseanne too. I can't. Okay, too much 90s. So my real boost is, so we all know that after the Golden Globes, the success of the Golden Globes, everyone was all fired up about the Time's Up movement. And then it came out that Michelle Williams, who walked the red carpet with Tarana Burke, the founder of the Me Too movement, it came out that she was paid like $1,000 for a reshoot of a film. And her co-star, Mark Wahlberg, who somehow is the highest paid actor in America, was paid like $1 million. Yeah. for the same reshoot. And actually, the only reason the reshoot happened is because Kevin Spacey, the actor who a celebrity came out, or an actor came out and said that when he was a teenager, Kevin Spacey assaulted him. And all these other revelations about Kevin Spacey came out from other people coming forward. And he was kicked off this movie. He wasn't kicked off the movie. He'd already done his part and filmed it. The movie was done. Mm-hmm. But the director decided to recast him and then go back and reshoot his scenes with a different actor. So Michelle Williams, Mark Wahlberg were called in to do those reshoots. And then they found it got leaked to the press that, yeah, she was paid $1,000 and he was paid $1 million.
Like $1,000.
Yes, 1,000. So apparently he was on, he was on some special contract that he had negotiated, and he was able to renegotiate, whereas she got the union rate. Like if you're an actor, you're part of SAG, union rate for, but once it leaked, it was obviously the timing of it was so ironic. But anyway, it turns out Mark Wahlberg in the end decided to donate his salary to I don't know if it was to the Time's Up. I think it was to the Time's Up movement. Okay. He decided he pledged $1.5 million to Time's Up.
I love it. Okay.
Which was one way to handle that. Because it's not necessarily his fault.
Yeah.
It's the people on the other end who are seeing everything. And it's also like Michelle Williams' agent. Like her agent should probably.
Yeah. Step I need up. You to get on that. Wow. I'm like, I just. Because when you said $1,000, I said, oh, she must be at $100,000, which is still terrible. $1,000, girl, like I could pay you that.
Yeah.
And how's that a boost again?
Oh, it was a boost for the way it was a boost for the way that he handled it.
Okay, yeah. I was like, wait a minute. I got lost in the sauce. Like, wait a minute. How is that good?
And there's more. It's a multi-layered boost. Not only are you getting a pre-boost, you're also getting a multi-layered post-boost.
Okay.
So other actors who I've worked with, so Woody Allen obviously has the sordid past where his stepdaughter accused him of sexually molesting her, and then everyone just kind of ignored it. And he's continued to win Oscars and work with the best of the best actors. So finally, it seems like people are willing to turn their back, or at least acknowledge what happened. So there's some actors who have pledged not to work with him, and then a couple who recently worked with him have donated their salaries to pro women charities, including Time's Up. So
I saw that somewhere that Selena Gomez, her mother, either tweeted her or IG, was like, yeah, I told Selena, that's not, you shouldn't work with him, that you have this show about discrimination toward women, and I don't know what the show is that Selena's executive producing, whatever. Why would you work with him? And so her mom not threw her under the bus, but I think someone asked her, why is your daughter working with him? She's like, Selena is an adult, it can make her own choices. I told her it wasn't a good idea, but at the end of the day, she can make her own choices, and she did, and I don't agree with it.
She was one of the ones who she was one of the ones who said that they were donating to the cause because she had worked with Woody Allen.
Child, there's so much going on. I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, it's good that things, they say, somebody's grandma says what doesn't come out in the wash comes out in the rinse.
The great rinsening.
Yeah. So it's like, so eventually, basically, what happens eventually, it can't stay a secret forever, basically. And so secrets are being exposed and shared as they ought to be. It's just that some days you're just like, boom, 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 boom. So you know what? In honor of your multi-layered boost, I'm actually going to do a multi-layered break.
Oh, love it.
So first break, just a little something light, since the other one is kind of heavy, just hit me. So first break is for folks that always want to meet in person when a phone call is enough. Why? So, because people will be like, I get it. FaceTime is definitely great. But sometimes people will want to meet, especially if I know you. I'm like, girl, we're not strangers. We're not trying to just to know each other and let me meet you. Sometimes, I'll have meetings and I'm like, this could have so been a phone call and I could have still been in my 90.
So there's some people you're like, I know you enough already. We don't need to.
We don't need to if we're going to meet, it doesn't have to be this formal meeting, so that's a little break. So stop trying to meet with people if you really could have a phone call, because it's just a waste, because the travel time, the get ready time, I prefer to look crazy at home in my Target 90 talking to you on the phone and just getting down to business. So that's one. That's a light break. And a heavy break is, and I wasn't even going to mention it, but I'm like, you know what? 45 and his remarks on Haiti and African nations, calling them S-hole countries. And I was just like, you know what? I'm actually going to boost Lola. Oh, Lola, I'm going to say your name wrong and they're going to take my Igbo card. Lola, what is your name?
Oh, they're coming for you.
I know they are, because they're like, word, Tiffany, honestly, like, she is an anchor. Lola Ogunaki. Oh, I think I said it right. Ogunaki. Lola Ogunaki. She's my girl. And she's the host of Entertainment Weekly. But she was recently on CNN. And she decided to talk about these countries that, especially because Lola is Nigerian, like myself. And she was like, let me give you some stats about this S-hole country that the president is describing. That, you know, like the stats on level of education and what they bring. One thing she said that was thought that was like, whoa, I didn't realize that she was like that. Nigerians, that's one of the countries that the president said that, why are these people coming here? That we should have people like Norway instead coming here, which basically means, why are black and brown people coming here? We'd much rather have white people, which is like, that's the definition of racist. Although 45 will let you know he's the least racist person ever. But, you know, whatever. And so she had a stat where she said Nigerians make up less than 1% of the African-American population here in America, of the black population here in America, but make up like 25% of those like in college or, and so basically you're saying like that this is a country that like is yielding like terrible people, and the numbers say that's a lie. Mm-hmm. And you know, it just, I said I wasn't going to give energy to it because honestly I've been overwhelmed enough, and I just don't get it. Like, is this a dream? No, is this a nightmare? Sometimes I'm just like, what is really actually happening in like the United States of America? That, is this a real person? Is this really being said? Is he telling like another nation, well, my button, you know, my nuclear button is bigger than yours? I just, who does that? Are you five? Are you in middle school? I just, yes. And then to see people still like championing him, yeah. I'm like, I don't know if you realize that if nuclear war comes, you're gonna die. Are you crazy? Like, I just, whoo, child. So that's my break. A break from his, I just wish somebody would turn his mic off. Turn his mic off and turn away.
I mean, he's got it for at least another 3 years.
No, don't say that, please.
I mean, unless something, but, you know, I will say, I posted this on the group. There's, you know, people were, like you said, you didn't want to give voice to it, but a lot of people were taking an opportunity to post about themselves, like, I'm from a shithole country, and here's, I have 3 degrees, I speak 4 languages, I'm a future doctor. You know, that was beautiful to see, because you know it's not true. Like, we know it's anyone who has been exposed to anyone from a foreign country who's immigrated to the United States and made a life here. You know that these are the most ambitious, the most proud Americans there can be, the most people who will not squander the privileges that they have here. And you know what, why not give them an excuse to shout, to show people, to remind people who they are and that they're here and what they're doing. And yeah, it's really sad. I'll tell you, that Friday, like the news came out earlier last week, and then Friday I had already had tickets to this show on Broadway called Once on This Island. And I knew it took place on an island in the Caribbean, but I didn't know it was in Haiti. Until I got there and sat in my seat and read the notes, and then the music started, and then I was swept away. And it was a beautiful play about family and love and yes, a poor people in a poor country, but the intersection of poverty and wealth in Haiti. It felt like it was meant to be that I was there on the week when he called Haiti and other countries, you know, use that word to describe them, because it's so clear that they're not. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to everyone that his words hurt, but I feel like, and sadly, he's representative of a lot of like toxic. It's like he's the face of the snake that's been underneath the belly of America for so long. They're just a face and a mouth to it now. We have to confront it, you know.
Yeah. You know, it's it's, and that's exactly how it feels. It feels like, because so many, for so long, brown folks have been saying, yeah, so racism still exists. And folks have been telling them, like, you have a black president, be quiet, ain't no racism. And we're like, yeah, I kind of live in this brown skin, so I've seen it, and it's still here. And so this is kind of like, I feel like a lot of people would, honestly, I'm not super surprised. I'm just so surprised at how blatant it is. Blatant it is from the White House.
He felt safe enough to say it in that room.
Yeah, that, and then to say, it's a lie, I didn't say that. I just, you know what? I'm just going to go back to my happy place, which is making dinner, doing laundry, and, you know, unfortunately going food shopping.
Your very presence and your success is exactly the answer to him that we need. Do you know what I mean? Live your life, because that is the ultimate protest.
And to do, like, I mean, the truth is, like, one of the things, like, I've been, like, I've been kind of slow rolling on is I've been wanting to start, like, a foundation. And I was just like, oh, there's just so many ins and outs. But then I told myself, you know what, now more than ever, I want to start a foundation where myself and, you know, the dream catchers that we donate money to it every single year, and they collectively decide what to do with it. I would love half of the money to go to other nonprofits that are doing amazing work for girls and for girls and women. I specifically want to focus on women and girls or kids. And so, like, we would vote every year to be like, okay, so who are we giving half this money to? The Girl Scouts. This, that. Okay, that's great. And then the other half to be set up like a scholarship program. And maybe we would pick one specific goal. So maybe the first year, the scholarship program is for dream catchers who can't afford daycare. And they can apply to get help to help supplement the cost of daycare. And, like, having, like, a team in place to help, you know, vet and make sure, and then paid in the daycare. So that's, like, one of my goals. And I feel like, you know, one of the reasons why I don't like to give too much energy to, like, this and, you know, his poison is that I so much rather to put my energy toward creating something like that, the Live Richer Foundation, where it's like, okay, what actual change can I move the needle? How can I move the needle forward for us as a community? And so that's, like, one of my, and I've been speaking it out loud because dream catchers are bossy. And I know if I say it, they're going to be on me, which I need, because I'm like, no more excuses of, like, well, I don't know how to start a foundation and I don't know how to, a friend of mine, she was like, well, girl, that's what I do. I help foundations get set up. I will help you. I'll help you get the board together and what you need. And you don't have to do everything all in one year. We could just get the framework set up for this year. And in 2019, we can raise funds. And in 2020, we can give away funds. It doesn't have to be this, like, undertaking that you have in, like, 6 months. But so I'm just putting it out there because I want to do something that is not just about acknowledging what's wrong, but do something that's actually going to help make what I want to see what's right. And not just what I want to see what's right, but collectively what we want to see make that right, you know?
Absolutely. What better day to talk about this to than the day after MLK, the MLK holiday?
Yes.
This is the time. I agree. I'm going to, my, one of my resolutions is to get involved in my local politics.
Mm.
My excuse has always been, you know, cause I've moved so much. I'm like, oh, well, I don't feel like I have roots anywhere, but I'm kind of done making that excuse. I'm just going to get involved. Jersey City has a great local ACLU group. There's little things I can do that I feel like, you know, I was so much more involved when I was in college. And now when I actually have more resources to give to a cause, it feels like I haven't been. So there's, yeah.
I want to hear what Brown Ambition listeners have to say. I would love if you would tweet us at, what are we, BA Podcast? The BA Podcast?
At the BA Podcast on Twitter. Yes. Yep.
Yep. Tweet us at the BA Podcast or write on our Facebook wall, Brown Ambition. And just let us know, like, what brown boost will you do to make a difference, you know, so we can focus on bringing, like, the good positive energy forward. I'd love to know.
Give us something to boost, y'all. We're struggling here.
Yeah, please. Like, you know what? Then we can include you as a win. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Every week it's like, let me shovel through this crap first.
No. Oh, child. All right. right, questions. I don't know if you, I have my question. We can take two of them if you want, but I can pull out the question that the young woman wrote me that I thought was in alignment with what we talked about earlier.
No, let's do it. And this is a good chance to remind you guys, because the inbox is getting a little thin. I know y'all have some questions. Please hit us up at brownambitionpodcast.com. You can click the Ask Us Anything tab to send us a question, or you can hit us up directly at brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com. We get a lot of notes where people are like, we love the show, just want to say we don't have a question. That's awesome. But what you can also do is leave those reviews online on iTunes. That would be amazing. It's so much more impactful when you don't just share it with us, but you share it with everybody. Mm-hmm. So we love those notes, but if you could also copy and paste them into iTunes, that would be lovely.
Yes.
All right. But let's do your question.
All right. So this is D Young Girl on Instagram. And she said, on the topic of, today for the Live Richer Challenge Net Worth Edition, we talked about in putting money in your IRA, Roth IRA, or 401k. So she said, by the way, a topic that comes up for many regarding 401ks that even I get shaky on is how does it make sense to save money into a 401k when I have outstanding credit card debt and student loan debt? Should I be taking whatever I save and putting it toward debt since the interest is higher than the rate of return I'm getting in my 401k or retirement? I have to face this all the time surrounding she says surrounding myself with folks that say pay yourself first, that it's important. Okay, well, anyway, that's basically what she's asking. There's a lot of other stuff in here. I'm like, what's she talking about? Basically, should she continue to put money in her retirement account, which this she has a 401k, or should she just say stop and put her money toward paying down the debt? Because it's like, what should I do?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are in that position. There's no black and white answer, but I think the question itself is really smart. Mm-hmm. And she's right. If you have a 22% interest rate credit card, I have a really good girlfriend I'm trying to help right now. I'm not going to call her out, but she has three credit cards that have over 23% interest rates APR. Mm-hmm. And she's been saving 10% for retirement. And I'm like, I salute you for saving for retirement, but I really think that your money, you should maybe bring it down to 5, keep your company match, and put a little bit more toward this credit card debt. Because, I made 22% of my retirement fund this year. But on average, you can only expect, 7 to 8% on a conservatively, which is not going to beat the 20%+ that you may be paying on credit cards. So, yeah, I think it's – try if you can to save a little bit for retirement, but attack your debt and get it out of the way because it's only going to drag you down.
So when Mandy says attack your debt, though, be mindful that she's not talking about typically student loan debt, that the interest rate is lower, or your mortgage. It's credit card debt tends to be that's the most detrimental debt that grows really quickly. Because what I don't want to see is because I see this, I think Prudential had done this study for it's called the African American Experience, where they asked the African American community, what are your financial, like your main financial goals? And on a whole, our main financial goal was to get rid of debt. And then they asked the community at large, a larger study. And the community at large, meaning non-African Americans, their financial, general financial goals were to grow wealth. And so my concern is that I find that a lot, that especially within this brown ambition community, that we're so debt reduction focused that we forget that you also have to be focus on investing. So I like the fact that you said that, you're right, that don't not put money aside for retirement, but being smart about it, because you have to, you have to set aside. And especially if your company matches, definitely. So if your company says, if you put up to 5% in your 401k, we will match you up to 5%, then definitely match it, But I don't want, you shouldn't just be debt focused, but then you also shouldn't just be investment focused, that there's a balance there depending on where your debt lies. If your debt is credit card debt, then yes, heavily pay down credit card debt. But if your debt is student loan mortgage, then I wouldn't forego maxing out my retirement account to to pay down my mortgage faster, because one, it's going to take forever, and two, you're likely going to get a higher rate of return on your retirement account than your mortgage interest rate is going to be.
Yeah, I think a common combination we get when we get questions from Magnify Money readers is student debt and credit card debt and retirement. If it's federal student loan debt, and you have high interest credit card debt, maybe it means, okay, for this year you enroll in income driven repayment plan, you get a reduced payment on your student loans, and you can throw more money toward your credit card debt. And then when you're done with your credit card debt, you get out of the income driven repayment plan and start attacking your student debt a little bit more. It's like a constant balancing act. And while you're doing that, maybe you're only putting in enough to capture your company match to your 401k. And it's a process, you know. I think it's a good question to ask, but it's also, it can like paralyze you too if you really try to come up with the perfect balance of saving versus paying down debts when you have so many things kind of cooking. I sort of think it's easier if you order things in priority based on interest rate and also like how they could harm you if you were to let them linger forever. Obviously, mm-hmm. with your mortgage, you could lose your house. You don't want to do that. So you need to pay your mortgage bill on time. But paying more than your mortgage payment every month, yes, you, like Tiffany said, yes, you'll pay it off a little bit faster, but it's not gonna be better for you in the long run in terms of the extra costs than it would be mm-hmm. to put that money toward your credit card debt or even your auto loan debt for that matter.
Yeah, because auto loans tend to be higher interest rates than like your mortgage. Or your student loans, if you have federal student loans, because private student loans those interest rates can be high.
Some people don't know even what their APRs are. So that's like a really good first step. It's just to sit down. I had my friend do this. I gave her like a spreadsheet. Just, you know, line up your debts, find out the APR, and really you can prioritize them that way. Very simple.
Yeah.
Anything over the 7% you might get on average in your 401k, that should be a priority, a bigger priority anyway.
Yeah. Whew, so hopefully we answered your question, D-girl. Mm-hmm. So I see you're on IG. I'm going to force you to listen to Brown Ambition. I'm going to say, hey, girl, here's the link to our website. I need you to listen because I answered your question versus like, you know, typing it all up in Instagram DMs.
So cold.
That's how we get listeners. That's a strong on them. So yeah, yes. you can tweet me and you can IG me your questions, but I'm not gonna answer back. I'm gonna say, we addressed that on Brown Ambition, episode 3. No, I'm just joking.
Okay, sometimes I answer back to their emails.
I do.
It's okay.
No, I'm just teasing y'all. We enjoy the best place to really ask though is to go onto our website, brownambitionpodcast.com. And then just click ask us anything. Is that what it says?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's the best place. And ask away. We love answering questions. Honestly, to me, it's one of my favorite parts of the show. And we really like to see your growth. And, you know, it would be great if we answered a question and you want to give us an update. That would be amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
It's time for Wednesday. I'm not going to lie. I don't have a win at the top of my head right now. You go first.
I will gladly go first. Apart from the fact that I'm drinking a nice ice cold beverage out of my Swell bottle, which yes! I believe was Tiffany's win, a couple months ago?
Yes, I love that thing.
It's okay. I like it. It feels like I'm drinking out of a torpedo. I accidentally got the super big one.
I love that one.
It's really big. I mean, it's great because you get 24 ounces, but I also feel like when I carry it around and talk to people, I'm like, just pardon me. I need to take a sip out of my torpedo.
You're going to make me pee myself. Oh, my God. Yes.
It's so huge. Big, you almost like, you can like step back. I'm taking a swig. lift this thing up. Okay. My win was going to be, I know we talked briefly about the H&M t-shirt gate from last week. But I saw today, if you need to be updated, there was a H&M t-shirt, a picture of was he Swiss or Swedish? As a black boy modeling a sweatshirt that has the cutest monkey in the jungle written on it. And somehow H&M thought that was cool and then published it. It was not cool. There's been all this obviously the media has been reporting on it, but then I saw like in South Africa, people have actually protested and H&M is shutting down some of its stores. And this is my win for the movement. This is my win for the resistance, my win for people standing up and not and standing up and then and not being not getting fatigued, because I've read some comments on some posts about the H&M shirt, like people saying, what's the big deal? Everyone's always making such a big deal about this. It happens all the time. Can't we just get over it? And the answer is no, you can't get, this can't be normal, you know, and it's nice to see people who are like standing up for it and not letting it be normal. So that is my win.
Yes. So my win, you know what? I feel like I'm going to start doing wins when I don't have like big general ones. I'd love to like highlight some dope brown ambition-esque women that we know, you know, that you guys should know. So this win is going to go to Patrice Cullors. If you don't know Patrice, she is one third of the founders of the Black Lives Matter movement. So Patrice actually has a book out called When They Call You a Terrorist. It's a memoir that she wrote. And it's already doing really well, like in pre-orders or whatever. I think it actually is, like today's the first day that it's on sale. You can find it all over Amazon, whatever. But I just want to say congratulations, Patrice. It's kicking butt. Last time I checked, it was like number one on some list on Amazon, which of course that's amazing. And you know, the thing is, you know, you hear about Black Lives Matter and you hear about there's leaders in the movement, but you don't realize just how much of their life they give up for the movement. Like Patrice has been a activist for a long time. I mean, high school, she organized things. She's just someone who cares deeply for the community, and there's a sacrifice that comes along with it. I was honored to be able to go to Sydney, where she, on behalf of the Black Lives Matter Network, received the Sydney Peace Prize, which is super prestigious. And so she received it on behalf of Black Lives Matter, and just to see all that it takes, and like the death threats, honestly, her life is not always in, you know, sometimes her life is put into jeopardy and time away from her family. And Patrice is a mom and all that she does, because she truly believes that Black Lives Matter. And she puts her life on the line to make sure that the world knows that. And so I just want to say win for you, Patrice. Congratulations on your dope new memoir, When They Call You a Terrorist. She is one of the funniest, dopest, just warmest people that you could ever meet. And I'm fortunate in that I know her, but I also know Opal. Opal, I always get your last name wrong. Opal's Nigerian, or is she Nigerian? Yes. Opal is also a co-founder of Black Lives Matter. But I just wanted to give Patrice just a win for your new book and for continuing to do the work, you know, that we haven't, you know, you've always done the work. And now, you know, hopefully this book will take your work to the next level.
Love it. When They Call You a Terrorist. I'm going to check it out. Mm-hmm. I just finally finished Jennifer Lewis's memoir. Amazing. Amazing. Best audiobook ever. Go get
it. Really?
She's so freaking good. It's amazing. It's like going to a one-woman show in your ears.
Okay.
She sings. She has the most fascinating life. I love it. I'm on a memoir kick. Okay. When They Call You a Terrorist. I'm looking at it. Remember when we were going to do recommendations?
Yes. Oh, yeah, we're like the old lady. We're like, oh, yeah.
I'm only bringing it up because I actually have one. I'll forget about it when I don't have one.
Okay.
No, the podcast recommendation. So I love story podcasts, like you know, telling a story. And I recently discovered this Georgia-based podcast. So there's two of them. It's True Crime. And this documentary filmmaker from Georgia decided he was going to go back, look at some cold cases, and try and solve these old cases in Georgia. One of them, the first one, which came out last year, actually resulted in two arrests in this cold case from 10 years ago. But the newest one, which actually has a racial element, it's covering the murders of several, like dozens, over 30 black boys in Atlanta during the late 70s, early 80s. And this was like a serial murder case that had never been solved. And he just launched a new podcast, I think last week, and it's called The Atlanta Monster. And okay. I highly recommend it because I'm like praying that he has the same kind of success that he had with the first season's podcast. Because his show basically, like the attention that he brings to it, it digs up all these new revelations and stuff. So I'm really excited because if you're from Atlanta and you were young, like in the 80s, you know about this case.
Wow.
Because it like crippled the city. My dad remembers that it crippled the city for so long because, yeah, literally snatching boys off the street, black boys in particular.
Wow.
At a time when Atlanta was too busy to hate, quote unquote. So really, really interesting.
Wow. I love this little podcast that could chugga 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 choo choo. You know, we should start putting out an APB out for you. Y'all want to fund the podcast? Yep. Y'all want to be a sponsor? Holla.
Oh. APB. I was like, what?
We should always put out like a thing at the end just saying, so sponsors are always welcome as long as you're in alignment. Holla. Because, you know, we want to keep the podcast going and rolling and. And we just love being a service to you guys. So, you know, if you know a friend of a friend of a friend with a dope company that would be in alignment, you know, send us a message at go to brownambitionpodcast.com and click ask us anything and fill out that form and let us know.
Love it. Yeah. Always open to sponsors, you guys. Just, you know, yeah. On brand.
Yes.
Not your uncle's liquor store.
Yeah. I was just about to say. On brand. You listened to long enough to know that, like, you know, we're. Although I love belly rings, that might not be a good fit for us.
The 90s are back, but not that back.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.